came to hear Sue Peters, I apologize that I'm not Sue. And for she will be, we traded weeks, she's not well. And so I am here to replace her when I was going to be here next week. How many of you received the email that went out that said that was going to happen? Can you put your hands up high? And a lot of you did when you came, thank you. I appreciate that. So basically, kind of here I am, you know. It was like really quick, what am I going to do? Well, I was brewing on the ideas of what I was going to do next week. So here we are now trying to say, okay, this is what we're doing this week. And I need some space for those of you that know I tend to walk around a little bit. And today I am talking about something that is very dear to my heart, the tarot. And with November 6th, 1964, that I went to my first tarot class. I was 20 years old. So it's been 50 years and another couple of weeks since I first, this pouch holds it, came connected to what is known as the Unbound Book of Wisdom. Now, when I first went to a class back then, I have to be honest, I had no idea what I was getting into at all. My then husband and I had heard a gentleman speak, talking about how he had devised this new method of reading and he was going to start classes, and we went. If anyone knows Vancouver, we were living in Richmond at the time, and we drove all the way to Burnaby. That way, in those days, it seemed like a long way. But we went, and I ended up studying with this gentleman by the name of William Boulderstone, who was a British medium, off and on for 3 years, which seems to be something that I do when I do have a teacher in physical form. I study for around 3 years. Had two of them in my life. Lots of internal teachers, lots of teaching at night, lots of instruction from other workshop leaders, but mostly two major teachers that I had. I was fortunate. I was innocent, young, and had a great desire to know God. I don't know if any of you out here had that as a young person, but I grew up with that, wondering if this thing called God existed and making deals with myself that if there was a God, this would happen and that would happen and, you know, ridiculous stuff. Little did I know how God really works. Today, unfortunately, that word God to a lot of people is upsetting. And in fact, my last tarot book I put out, when I was talking about source, the energy, I called it. Because my second book, I received so many letters saying, how come you called it God? And what about the goddess? And what about this? And what about that? And I went, okay, it's it. And so I went, oh boy, capital letters, IT. It's, I don't care what you call it. And I do, I say that in my readings, actually. I don't care what you call it. I'm going to call it God. Because then I was raised, and I'm sure I'm a sign of the time. Well, it's a word. It's going backwards anyway. Your best friend. Your backwards best friend is there to support you, love you, care about you. And really, does it matter what the word is? And actually, in one of my other books, I write about if a word upsets you, about how to change that so that there isn't a word that does upset you. And Perry actually had the wonderful experience of teaching me that I still had some words inside that I wasn't totally non-reactive to, of which I am forever grateful. At the time, I wasn't, but I am. So what is so magical about these cards? The deck that I used was actually one of the first ones that came up, and I should explain, most people know what tarot is today, but quickly, a quick rundown is 78 cards, 22 of them are what we call higher arcana, some people call them majors, which are the laws and the lessons of life. 56 break down, and the rest of the 56, I should say, break down into four suits. Wands, cups, swords, and pentacles. 16 of them. Four of them are what they call the court cards. which I classify as attitudes. I was taught to read differently. I'm a psychological reader. I look at people's attitudes. I look at your responses to life. I look at how you're handling life. Why we call it the Unbound Book of Wisdom is because it has movable pages. So when people come to see me for a reading, for instance, and sit down, however those pages, there is the story. When people come and learn how to read from me, and they have homework to do, which is read for themselves every day, they get to see the story of themselves. Sometimes, not always, do we like to see that story, because many of us like to pretend we're certain things when we are others. What this magical story ability that goes on within these symbols, and I absolutely cannot believe over 100 years ago, two people from the Order of the Golden Dawn got together and they made these cards. Later on, somebody came along, and actually they colored them, but originally they were the first ones that put the lower arcana cards into pictures. And that's the magic of the tarot. Because until then, you had to memorize everything. Let's say you had six swords or two cups. You had to memorize what that meant. There was nothing there to show you anything. Today, we can look at a picture and we can tell a story from one picture, which I will do later to demonstrate this. It is so magical how we can learn about life. And these two people, Pamela Coleman Smith was the artist. Unfortunately, she died totally broke. And Arthur Edward Wright wrote the book and wrote the words, which I read many, many years ago and haven't looked at since. Because I took a different track with them. To me, it talks about life. The higher arcana tells me the steps that I've taken in my journey. And as I'm getting kind of near that end of that journey, even though it's not much longer that's going to go on, I have had a lot of experience in seeing and going, where was I? What am I doing here? What is it? What's empowering me? What am I coming to understand? What is going on here in relation to how all this fits together for myself? It's not just about others. It's for me. It's my journey. Unfortunately, I haven't always listened. Like everybody else, I want to do it my way, and I want to do it the way I think it's supposed to be done. Which means that I've been brought up very short sometimes. And how about other things? Oh, yeah, right. That's how it works. Also, the four suits I have found to be incredibly, a lot of people overlook them. But let's think about it for a moment. Wands. This is to me. Now, I'm going to explain some differences for some tarot wizards that in here study other methods. I do not use reversals because I don't want to remember that, oh, coming out straight is one way and reverse is another. The symbol talks to me. So I don't use reversals. Court cards are attitudes, not people. They're your attitude to life. Uh-huh. And wands are how you think. And when you study this as a step, my second book really goes into this a lot, and that information is incorporated into the third tarot book, but it's like you begin to see how we think. And how if we just think clearly, we do the proper steps, things are very easy. But you know we're human, right? Man, we just like messing things up. And that's exactly why. But what I also love about it is that it really tells us how we can always get out of all the situations that we create. But we create through thinking. And that's what I first started when I'm teaching manifestation to people. You know, I don't have a tarot card yet, but really a lot is based on what I know from that. Because that's my base. We think. Remember that saying, we think, therefore we are? We think a thought. It goes out as a picture. It's there. How much volume does it have? And it's the volume that comes from the cup symbology, which is the emotional symbology, the emotion that you put behind the thought. Passion and anger as an energy is not too much difference, except one's clean. So we want, well, sometimes when I'm doing, actually I do this for my wealth manifestation classes, people, you know, want to get into passion. How do they get into passion? They can't seem to get there. So when you're last angry? Do you know the majority of people do? So remember how it felt. Remember how it felt when you're angry. Now let's clean out energetically all the stuff and just leave the power of the energy. And then put that behind your thought that you want. Now you have power because you have passion. A world really isn't that much different. It's just on one side of the fence or this side of the fence. Is it workable? And that's why very often people who are very angry or very frustrated and all that seem, even though it may not always be productive, things seem to be moving for them. Where those of us that are peaceful and loving just seem to be stagnant sometimes. The other way we create, and it took me a number of years, well, the oldest of me years to learn, to be honest. I had two kids growing up and a husband and work and studying myself and different things. Swords are the problems and challenges, which I don't know anybody that lives an absolute problem-free life. I really haven't. I mean, I've traveled a lot in this world. I've done workshops pretty well in every continent, and I haven't been anybody that hasn't been a problem. Thank goodness, because they come see me. And the magic to my ears is that this happens quite often. We can say, oh, I didn't think of that when we're trying working out what a result. That's my job. My job is to give you solutions. That's my job. But how do we handle these things? How do we respond to life? What do we do? And that's what the sword symbology shows us. And do you know one of the things that I absolutely love about the sword symbols is it shows us consistently the way out. Regret, guilt, all of that's in there. Bury your head in the sand. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it. Go away. All it does is create more hassle. Overwhelm. How many of us experience overwhelmingness at times? Yeah. What am I supposed to do? There's so much to do. The answer is, take something and do something. Do the action. One of the themes in the tarot, I find that very often I have to kind of drum into clients, we want to talk about students, but clients, is action. I have seen so many people recently, not everyone, but recently, who are stuck because they're afraid to do something in case it doesn't work. Now, what happens when you get older, which is the category I am now in, people have made mistakes. When you're young, you don't care because you've got lots of time. But when we get older, we don't want to redo that again. We don't want to go back and have that happen again. Am I right, people? Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to do that. So what ends up happening, we do nothing. And then we go, well, I feel stuck, I don't know what to do. Something is better than nothing. Choose what you want to do. Well, I don't know what I want to do. Well, why don't you have fun figuring it out? Because what they want me to do is tell them what to do. Well, what do they come to learn and understand through that? If I'm telling them what to do, I had a client, I said, all I'm going to do is put my foot in your ear end and give you a little push. Just push it. Because if you don't, nothing is going to occur. And quite often I feel like we do. Action is imperative, not only for our physical bodies, even though sometimes mine does not want to do any action. It's necessary. But we have to in our lives, no matter what our age is, no matter where we are, to create something that gives us an excitement, something to live for. Last time I was here, I was talking about how I went to Victoria, right, and did the Empress Hotel with my daughter, and having a high tea and all that stuff. And afterwards, I sat down, because I haven't been here all this year, and it's been a long, tedious year, and I sat down and I thought, well, what next? What do I really want now? And that's what happens, is we're not, and I teach goal setting, and I know I'm short-sighted, and I don't always make long-term goals, but what now? And already now I'm planning for my spring.
And I'm getting back on course of what I want to do more than anything, and working at talking to people who can help create what I want. Because if I don't have something to work towards, what is their impetus? Because this is a time, well, I'm just going to change subjects a little bit, because I was driving here today and my daughter called, and I said, oh, I'm on my way to the center, I'm going to be talking about the towers. Well, you've got to mention the death card. It's Halloween. You've got to talk about Halloween now. You've got to talk about the death card. And I'm going, well, that wasn't really my plan. So, on her request. Yes, good. Thanks. Thanks for magical letting me push the death card. This is the time. And then she goes on and gives me this great little lecture at which I'm not a Wiccan, but I have Wiccan friends. And Halloween is a Wiccan holiday. It is the representation of the letting go of the feminine and allowing the masculine. Because now the men go out and hunt the animals and do all those kind of things. By the way, I was pointing out to someone the other day why men like blue-red and women like orange-red. Do you know why? When men hunt the animals and cut them, the blood comes out blue-red. When we get it as women, cut it up, it's orange-red. Interesting, eh?
Yeah.
One of those little facts I have tucked away that something came up and I brought it out, I probably haven't even thought about it.
But let's look at the death card. Really, it really needs to be named rebirth. But what did they know 110 years ago? Really. But you see, life takes us and reduces us to the bare bones. The skeleton is there, but he's got his armor. So he's not falling apart. If you watch Bones on TV, right, all the bones stuck out there, he's contained. And the mystic rose, the crown is being lost, something has been lost here. Our material world has been set asunder. Whether it is war, whether it is upsetness, whether it is someone's left, something has happened that has been a loss. And now, we are moving ahead. There's a lot of other symbolism I'm not going to really go into, but it's like the moving on to that sun that's coming out between those two towers.
Oh.
This is the path of the rebirth. And for those terrorists, you eventually come out of this learning in the sun. In the sun symbol, which is number 19. This is number 13. It's actually number 4. If you know anything about numerology, number 4 is stable. What's stable about this?
Resetting your base.
Right, resetting. The horse has 4 legs. You're on a horse, you're walking forward, you're going into the new. There's a rebirth. Now, we all know that during life, these things happen. And the key here, when we get into the rebirth of life, these wonderful little picture cards, 78 of them, tell stories, because that's what I tell my students. You are a storyteller. You are telling a story about life. And ensure you leave it where you know that no matter how grim it looks, there's a way out. Because nothing is ever staying. As you know, when this body decides to expire, however, our soul moves on. And if you don't know that by now, just talk to Lynn. She talks to many of the people who soul moves on. That's her job. We all have different jobs. My job was to learn all sorts of different things and then impart that awareness to others. And I've had a great life doing it. But I want more. I'm not done. I think if I had been done, I would not be here right now. So it's a matter now of re-strengthening to re-go out. In the spring, when it comes again, so I am in actually this mode. In a way, I've had a death. The old life that I knew it in the last few years has been crumbling and leaving and going. So there's some basic things going on. But there's another symbol called the tower. You have that one there?
Yep.
The Tarot comes.
It's number 16. We all have experienced these wonderful things. All these lovely symbols, right? Sets us free sometimes. I'll show you the magic in this card. Remember that crowd we saw on the ground? Mm-hmm. See this person here falling down? He's still got his crown on. He's falling away from his yod, the light, which is the, actually the 22 higher arcana card showing you the way out by accepting what is going on. And then the whole value of change. You see, the hardest thing I found for us humans is acceptance, because we always want everything the way we want it. We don't let go. And so we wonder when these things happen and life falls around all around us, like what on earth is going on? What we have to do is accept, let go, and rebuild. I call this philosophy. I call this an understanding that there is a power greater than me that has no, that sort of sits there and goes, okay, what should I do now? I think that's where she's supposed to be, so let's nudge her back here. Because I have a birth path that says a certain thing. But there's other birth paths out there that don't have that. And very often they show up at my door because they don't know what to do. And I talk very, very differently to them. And those are people who have 9 birth paths, number 9 birth paths. So here with the Tower, we've got to be able to see where we're heading. Even if we don't like it, if we accept. And the one yod in his hands is our number 1 card called the Magician. And do you have that one at all? The Magician, for set number one. All things are possible. You can create anything that you want because you have your life. And on his, I'm waiting for him to come up. On his desk, he has the wands, the cups, the pentacles, the swords. He has his life. These are your tools. This is what you work with. The white flowers, the lilies of pure thought, red roses of aspiration, he's aspiring above. We must aspire. We must have that passion to proceed, to learn, to grow, to know that there is this force in this universe, whatever you call it, that you can bring through into your life. And that's what the infinity sign shows. Everything is possible. Doesn't mean you'll succeed. I know my students very often, oh, I thought the Magician is going to be successful. I said, well, what action cards did you have in there? Because unless you do something with what you've got, you're not going to go anywhere. Just think it's possible. Walk through the door. Jump off the cliff. Well, no, don't do that.
I've done that too.
The fool jumps off the cliff, so it's kind of like I kind of jump there. But so what tool do you have in your life that guides you when things get dark and you're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do? Me. True. Me.
You're cheeky.
And I have been fortunate that I learned a tool at 20 years of age that has held me in good stead, even though I don't always listen. But it has helped me many times to avoid things, to make life easier, and mostly to understand what I need to do. And I've taken the learning, the understanding, and I've implemented it into many other things that I do in my life. The basis of where I've gone on. And anything I discovered out into the world, I've gone back and said, where is it in here? And I found it. My admiration for those two people over 100 years ago is huge because they knew some secrets of life and they put them into these unbound books of wisdom, like the unbound pages, so that we could also garner that. Unfortunately, today, people have decided they'll create their own. And in some ways, they're very, very creative. And I have a very large collection of a small collection of original, some other tarot decks. And then it got too many coming out. But what I found is the essence very often is lost. Very often is the loss of the journey. Because that's what it is. Our life is a journey from when we take our first breath to our last. You talked about breathing. That's all we ever have to do here is breathe, because we contribute that way. Especially when we breathe into our thinking of love and peace and understanding. And being aware that all things are as they are. And what do we choose to do? At any given moment, you have choice. I had to think about that this morning as I woke up very achy today. And I felt great yesterday. Today I did not feel great. And I had to choose. I had to choose whether I was going to be miserable and upset with myself and feel sorry for myself, or was I going to get my act together and get here and be me. Which you can see what I did. What I wanted to do, and it was do some readings just to show you how these work. I'm going to ask Trish to hold the mic because I need two hands on this, but I want to speak in the mic and also have you speak. Thank you. Who has a question they'd like an answer to? Nobody? No. Good. Jupiter, I have
never seen anybody.
Not again!
I want you to pick one symbol out of here. Just a Three of Wands. I'm just going to hold that up a bit. You see that? A man sitting on, well, not sitting, sorry, standing on a cliff. Do you want to take a picture of that? Is that what you
want
to do?
I want to record you. Is that okay?
You're going to record me, okay. Oh, I'm recording you too, so. Now, what we see here, what this basically says, and I don't know what the question is, you could tell me if you want, because I can streamline a little bit more. But what, do you want to tell me the question in front of everybody or not?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Next step.
Next step. The next step says you know it. Mm-hmm. You know what your next step is. This is about projecting it out. This is about putting it out there to get it going. This is not thinking about it or figuring it or anything. So it says you really know what you want to do. I'm going to say, you need to listen. If you're not sure, you need to listen and start thinking about what do I do? How do I do this? Not what do I do? How do I do this? Because it's got to be put out. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Great, great. Thanks. So, Aggie, was that for you to turn it up? Okay. You pick one symbol two. Do you want to tell me your question or not?
The likelihood of success or the outcome of a writing project called Ben and Jati.
Now, this is really interesting because what Aggie's picked here is the Wheel of Fortune, which is a, what I call a law of action. So this needs work. This needs energy, work, but there's something missing in here. I feel like you're needing some more knowledge or more awareness to put into the project or be around the project. Is there a timeline on this project or not? Okay. Are you still the posting one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay, thank you. Because I was feeling a timeline on it. What this just says is don't let your fears, your pressure, your anxiety get in the way of moving forward with where you're going. I think it's going to take you longer than you would like because I think there's a piece of information that's yet to come forward. I feel quite blind on one side. It's like everything is here except it's the Aquarius. So some piece of information isn't here yet. That needs to be added in to give it spice, if that makes sense. Okay? Other than that, yeah, keep going here. I wouldn't put too much emphasis on your deadline. I'd relax it a bit, maybe by 3 months even. And then it'd be fine. Okay?
Thank you.
You want what?
Yes, please.
Okay. You know, can you tell me a question? Just makes it easy for me to horn. I would horn it. I'm going to get a little bit more specific, that's all.
No.
Yeah, okay. So what this says here is that you have a decision to make. And like all decisions, you either got to decide to do something about it or stay ignorant. In other words, I don't want to do
I found out. That's disturbing.
I will have a different outcome with my creative side of me.
Whoops, don't want to fall either
on the floor here. I'm just going to go walk towards the front here with this. This is an attitude symbol, Page of Swords, which is a reactive symbology to a degree. It's about reacting to. So my answer to you on this is, you're going to need to change your attitude to what you're doing. For it to be successful, you're going to have a 180 degree shift and begin to go back into enjoyment, love, life, fun, all that kind of stuff, and not like looking for results, but enjoying the process. Does that make sense? Yeah, because I think once you do that, then everything will begin to follow. But it has to shift. You've got to go back into the fun of it, not the result part of it. Okay? I've just got two more, so I can't wait to. It's always worth my day. Can you tell me your question?
Can you give me a timeline on what I visualize?
Well, the thing is, you visualize a lot. Boy,
top of the list
visualization. The interesting symbol here is number 20, which is the judgment symbol, which is to accept the outcome of the decision that you made before. So I would say, looking at this, that the outcome is very close. 2 months?
Thank you.
Very close.
Thank you.
Just relax. Loud in, it's going to be important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a question?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell
another?
Sure.
What is it? Oh, it's about my
love life. Well, she's got... she has... I looked at this and went, because she's got the Three of Cups, which is the celebration of life, that everything... And Jen is perfect for this. I mean, we just listened to her this morning as she talked and giggled and cried and laughed. This is enjoyment, joy, love, life. Everything perfectly happy. It also can be overindulgence and other things that one perhaps shouldn't overindulge in, but primarily it's about being happy. So if love life, just let it happen. Just let it, just don't worry about it. Just flow with it. Let's be with it. There's nothing here that I see that is an obstacle. But sometimes with that symbol, there can be a little thing about expectation, right? We can have an expectation that isn't quite in reality. And this is not for you, but for the general. Disappointment, hurt, and pain comes from an expectation that's not based in reality. When it crashes into reality, we feel hurt. And very often we blame the outside. Or in fact, we just didn't listen, that we had an unreasonable expectation. There's a hint of a warning of that in here. Even though it's always with joy and happy dance and singing the song and everything else. So this is what, basically, from my perspective, that these 78 symbols can do. Now, I'm going to mention one more thing. When I first started reading these, I had no idea I was psychic. In fact, I did not use the word psychic for many years. I used to just say I was a tarot card reader, because I read cards. I read cards, but it helped to develop my psychic muscle. And as the years went by and I read, my muscle grew more, that I became clairvoyant, a sense of knowing, all those things began to take place and shape. I still like people to start learning with these when they develop psychically. Not just because it helps develop you psychically, but because it gives you a philosophy of life. You have an understanding of what makes life work. You learn about you. You learn about you, and you are the most important thing. No matter what anyone else tries to tell you, your journey is your journey. Nobody can take it away. It may appear they make it difficult, but it's usually because of how we're responding to things. I did that. I didn't claim my power. When I was in a very powerful position, within a few years, I'd given it all up, because I wanted something to be a certain way that wasn't. It's called relationships.
We don't know what that
is. Yeah, most of us don't. But I want you to know that when you hear people talk about tarot, and I even had somebody say the other day, well, isn't that bad? I said, oh, good Christian upbringing, eh? People raised in strong Christian backgrounds, the tarot is the devil. I had a lot of that. I was fortunate that I was at the right place at the right time in my life, where I did a lot of TV, I did a lot of radio, I did a lot of newspapers works, and was able to get the idea out that this was a tool of life that one can use in their everyday and can help you understand that whole journey of life and become closer to that supreme being, which I call Source, Divine Essence, God, Goddess. Some of my students have been Muslims, they call it Muhammad, Allah. Oh, that Allah, sorry, for Muslims, yeah. But Muhammad and Allah, I've had them all pass my path. Some have gurus, Sikhs carry out worship gurus. Doesn't matter. It's about what you want to relate to. And the most important thing is that you are happy in your life. And what I found when I'm not happy, and often I don't know that I'm not happy, my life doesn't stop not working. And when I am happy, when I'm joyous, when I'm able to sing and dance, life somehow turns around. So on that note, I want you all to be happy. I want you all to be joyous. And I want you all to have a tool of some kind in your life that helps you, whatever it may be. And so God bless, and thank you for listening.